Panel Scanners Podcast, Episode 2, for July 12th, 2012.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong?
I know that. The old Spider-Man.
That is, yeah, I thought it was about to be the 90s one.
This is no,
this is, I thought it was going to be the 90s one. The one that was all like
rock. Oh, yeah, Aerosmith movies.
Oh,
that was. What cartoon? That one, of that Spider-Man cartoon is one of those things as a kid. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever, and it wasn't. But it also
it was good. Good time.
But
no, no, there's still other than it always running out of web. It was so funny.
And, well, this was the series that he
All
was
right,
always.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what's new of our show? Panel Scanners. Welcome to Panel Scanners. I'm your host, Johnny Caps, and I am in the know. We are celebrating one of the truly original American art forms, the comic book. Comic books are awesome. They've been with us for nearly 100 years.
Working at it. Superman's, what, 70?
Yeah, well, no.
Spidey's 50 this year.
So, for the better half of 100 years, and we're doing great stuff with the comic books right now. Once again, I'm your host, Johnny Caps. With me, as always, is the incredible Darren and the invincible Phil. Say hi, guys.
What up?
Hey, I get a new adjective every week. I like it.
You should be the uncanny, Phil, because you're the X-Men.
He'll be the uncanny next week.
Oh, jeez.
So, today we are talking about comic books. What's going on in the industry? This week, Marvel announced a soft reboot of their entire line. After the don't judge them quite yet.
No, I'm judging them.
No, we're all judging them.
I just got back into it.
Now, DC a year ago did a hard reboot where they rebooted their entire line. Marvel is doing a soft reboot, which is essentially not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. DC threw out the baby, the bathwater, the basin, pretty much everything. The benefits to the hard reboot are you get to start everything fresh. New characters can be re-stimulated. You can keep the history that you want to keep. You can discard the history that you don't want to keep. And you can just start with the bare bones, which is what DC did. What Marvel's doing with the soft reboot is they're trying to restart their line while keeping their old line effective. What do you guys think? Benefits? Withdrawals?
I mean, honestly, for the most part, everything's had some sort of reboot within the last,
The industry's had a reboot.
So, I mean, I don't know really if it's beneficial, especially since they're bringing in so many people with, like, the Avengers vs. the X-Men, and because of the Spider-Man movie, a lot of people started reading Spider-Man again, and all that stuff. I don't know if this is the right choice, just because you're going to get back in and start. You know I jumped on Wikipedia and checked out all the wiki pages for everybody. Not that I normally trust Wikipedia for all of its knowledge, but with comic books, you know, it tends to be run by guys like us.
Yeah.
You know, so I read up on everything, and now I just wasted a good week of my life doing that.
Yeah.
If they're rebooting things. And the thing with the soft is, you just, I don't know, because they can still use stuff from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is it going to be clear what's still being used? Are they throwing House of M out? Is House of M just ignored? Civil War,
X-Men.
Are they mentioning that again? I mean, it's one of those things, like, I don't know. I don't think it's the right move.
We've had some great storylines from Marvel in the past years. House of M was good. Civil War was good. Civil War was breathtakingly good.
I'm halfway through it right now. It is very good.
Incredible.
I actually did read that too. It was good. I enjoyed it.
That's incredible. We had Secret Invasion, which was okay.
Is Captain America still dead?
No.
Okay.
No.
Never mind.
Fear itself as well.
Fear itself. I did not get into, but I heard that was good. See, there was a time when I was engaged to a woman who did not like comic books, and she told me to stop reading comic books.
And you dumped this woman.
I am no longer engaged.
Yeah, buddy. Was around it was that
not,
time?
It was not because of comic books. It was because of a collection of things. But she wouldn't allow me to have any fun, which was disappointing.
You made the right move.
Right, thank you. The woman that I'm with right now reads comic books.
Fair enough.
That has become a precursory requirement for a date with Johnny Capps. So, if there are any
we had a chance then.
Yeah, you guys have a chance.
Yeah, man.
So, if there are any attractive ladies out there, read some comics. Give me a call.
Don't let your current girlfriend
hear
you
say that. I was going to say. She's going to be like, hey, can I listen to the podcast? I'm like, yeah, skip the first, like, yeah, 6 minutes.
The first 6 minutes are boring.
They're nothing. We just kind of messed up.
We're just joking
here, start from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Good move, sir.
So, thanks. My thoughts on the whole Phase 1 or soft reboot is don't break your leg trying to jump on the bandwagon. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, as you know, we spoke a bit about, we thought, actually, in a month, in an episode or two from now, we're actually going to examine 1 year from DC's New 52, as they're going to now already doing a 0 month.
Yeah.
So, and now is that, do we know if they're going to issue 12 and then going to zero, or is it
12
11?
And then zero?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we still have a comic.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see how you do a soft reboot where you're starting everything over and then still keeping everything in place, because that's what DC was trying to say they were doing, and I kind of feel like it's not working, you guys. I don't know. I'm
still on board with the New 52.
You're liking it.
I'm liking it very much.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think it's going to play out like the New 52? Like, it's pretty much going to be like a restart, but like certain aspects from the past will keep in?
It's basically, it felt like what DC wanted to do and what Marvel wants to do is they want to revitalize those classic elements, like Clark Kent is a reporter at the Daily Planet. Lois Lane is also a reporter who does not know he's Superman. They have not had a relationship. They want it to be new again. They want that sort of feel to it, which, you know, I'm like, Marvel did that with the Ultimate line. It was in the Ultimate. Yeah. I loved it, as you guys know, I'm not a Marvel fan, and I couldn't get enough of the Ultimate Spider-Man. I thought the Ultimate Spider-Man was just jaw-dropping.
But that universe is still going on. It's not like it stopped. They played it all the way out, and then they kind of even rebooted that one with new characters and things. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not that familiar with this Phase 1 thing. So, when's it starting? Are they doing it to all the comics?
They're not doing it to all the comics.
Okay.
They are restarting Thor. They are restarting some very vital series. Some series are going to continue on. I believe Wolverine and the X-Men continues on, which is the one I care about.
That's good.
A lot of vital comics are getting number ones again. Uncanny X-Men is... They just restarted Uncanny X-Men, and it bombed, so they're just canceling that series.
So Uncanny's dead then?
No, well, it's becoming all new X-Men. And here's a little bit of a spoiler that I picked up. Now, this is just my opinion, judging from what I've observed. What they are doing is they are bringing back the original team of X-Men as time travelers. And the original team is coming back into the 21st century.
Is that all-new X-Men you're talking about?
Yes.
So,
yes.
The pictures I've seen, though, it's not the original setup. Like, it's Wolverine, and it's...
Then it might not be all new X-Men. It might just be... They're redoing a couple X-Men titles.
I'm looking for an insert for it.
Okay. They're redoing a couple of X-Men titles. But what I figured out is that the original Scott Summers is coming back as a time-traveling person, which means current Scott Summers is going to die.
But he's still Cyclops.
I mean, it doesn't matter. He's still going to be the same.
Well, yeah, but I think it's... Hey, even if it's just for one issue, I'm excited about that, all right?
Sure.
So, all right.
You know how... We all know how we feel about Cyclops.
Yeah, nobody likes Cyclops.
No, really? He's the Aquaman of the X-Men. Although, no, well...
Aquaman's cool.
Aquaman is cool. I shouldn't say that, because I like Aquaman, but I don't like Cyclops.
Aquaman's just underappreciated. He's still cool.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cyclops is overappreciated.
Yeah, he's why? The anti- why do people like there has to be someone out there that's like, Cyclops is cool.
Oh, there are plenty of people out there.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. The guy who created him?
Ouch.
um, That's probably Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. See, and I like Stan Lee. How do you not like Stan Lee?
Cool. Don't badmouth Stan Lee.
No, Stan Lee is a guy.
No, I can't. He's like the world's grandfather. I love that guy. I could listen to him read a phone book.
Yeah.
Seriously. The guy's awesome. But anyway, I was looking at some of the figures from the sales charts, and the comic book industry is up 38% in the past 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so this is a...
Over percentage of where we were 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago, to where we are now, it's up about 38%.
Well, that's big business now. That's, I mean, the movies have really...
They've really done a great thing.
Well, it's interesting because comics kind of hit a low in the 90s, and that's when the comics...
90s was the dark age.
Yeah, the 90s was when all the movie adaptations were unfaithful to the source material. They were poorly produced.
Oh, they were god-awful.
You know... Batman and Robin did everything it could to kill Batman. It tried very hard.
Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, is that the insert?
Must be a different.
What issue is this in that you're looking at? That
one. This is first X-Men issue 1. It's coming.
No, but this is what ABX.
This is Uncanny X-Men 15 from last week.
Oh,
yeah, it went. 15,
and that has an ad for the first X-Men.
Yeah.
So that is getting a soft reboot then. Like, you're going to go back and, like, it's going to be the original X-Men.
One of the series. It's probably not, my friend Phil just showed me a picture of the cover of the first new X-Men series, and it's probably not what I was just referring it to, just referring to as.
The Ultimate X-Men, though, didn't they have that?
There is Ultimate X-Men. It's running within the Ultimate
Universe. I remember liking that a lot, too.
Ultimate X-Men was very good. They started with Wolverine, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wolverine was there in the first comic.
I feel like I need to really wait and see what they're rebooting. Because you said they are definitely canceling Uncanny, though?
Yes.
I have a
favorite. That's the original, right?
I think I know how that's going to happen, to be honest, but...
Isn't that the original?
Uncanny?
Yeah, the original X-Men comic?
Kind of.
It was. That is the original X-Men. They didn't pick up the Uncanny adjective until further along down the line, but originally it was the X-Men, and then it developed into the Uncanny X-Men, and that's the comic that they just canceled a couple years ago, and redid with the number one, and now they're canceling the reboot.
Oh.
So.
They have to combine the schools somehow.
I'm not sure that Scott Summers' school on Utopia is going to exist.
Survive after Avengers vs. X-Men. Because they keep hinting that someone big is going to die.
Cyclops. How many times has Marvel done this to us, though?
Somebody Addition big by is going subtraction. To die.
Yeah. When somebody big is coming back, who did we get back? Captain Marvel. Thank you.
Bronx cheer.
Yeah.
The Indians have signed Johnny Damon.
Oh.
To do what? Hit 120?
To look pretty.
I could probably
it's like
do that.
The Cavs getting Shaq. He was just there to clog up the middle.
And he did.
And he did very well.
He did.
He did that very, very well. But anyways, moving on. I'm going to move to the... Right now we have Comic-Con going on.
Nerd Super Bowl. Yes.
And for this, I am going to transfer to my friend Darren.
All right, guys. Listen up. San Diego Comic-Con started yesterday, July 11th. It is July 12th as we are sitting here. And, well, nothing major has come out yet. People have seen the first episode of Arrow, which is the Green Arrow adaptation
for
the fall.
Right, I heard that was good.
People are reacting positively to it. They said it doesn't have the Smallville feel that a lot of people said. I don't know if you guys saw the clip they put out. It looked really cool. I was like, all right, let me take a look. I'll give this thing a 30 seconds. And I watched the whole clip, and he looks like they've made Green Arrow kind of a badass. Which,
yeah, I was watching the trailer. I watched the trailer, and it looks pretty.
It does look cool. Which the disservice they've done to him in the New 52, I will watch the show to go.
They have butchered him.
Yeah, we talked about that in the last podcast. That was my sayonara, and I have not read anything since.
Bravo.
So that's one thing. For those people who are into it, it wasn't so long ago, the Twilight panel wrapped up, and they said that by far this looks like it's going to be the best of the movies. My fiance is very much into Twilight. I am not one that's going to. Yeah, but you know what? We're sitting here talking about comics. We have no right to bash the Twilight. It's not for us. It's not for us.
It's really, really
not for us.
The writing
is so poor.
As English teachers, you're right, but...
You know, it's Stephanie Meyer.
I'm sure that...
did what she wanted to do.
Exactly. But we'll just move on from that. That was one of the big news. Still quiet on the Man of Steel front. They're teasing. There may be a teaser trailer. There may not. Henry, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Cavill, the guy who's playing Superman, is supposed to be there. But this is interesting to me from a movie that actually wrapped up principal photography a month ago, started shooting a year ago. The only thing we have seen from it is that picture of Superman. It looks like he's thrown a large safe door aside and the logo. That's really the only thing official. We've seen spy photos from fans, but we've seen nothing else from this movie. Now, the assumption is, of course, that a week from now, when The Dark Knight Rises hits, that you're going to get the teaser trailer attached to that. It only makes sense, but who knows? But still, all is quiet from the Man of Steel.
Now, question.
Go ahead.
After Superman returns,
yeah,
do they have anywhere to go but up?
I, as a Superman fan... that could be a podcast in of it and itself.
All right.
I have my Superman Returns was not good. But I mean, sure.
Never say it can't get worse.
You're right.
That's true.
All right.
Lionsgate TV grabs Xenoscope's Wonderland to produce it as a television series. I am not familiar with Wonderland.
Wonderland's
but,
a good series.
The Smallville people are in charge of that. Be that as may, nothing else is really...
I like the later seasons of Smallville. The later,
I did too. Yeah. That show, for as long as it went, it had no business going that long, but it didn't...
It was good.
I just watched it when it came out, like, initially, because I was like, Superman! I'm like, this is...
We all got excited. And
the Batman panel, just for the DC Comics, is going on as we speak. And the one thing I did see that did kind of get me excited was, I'm not familiar with... I think it's writer Brian Wood.
Brian Wood.
Ultimate X-Men, Conan, and Carlos Danda with covers by Alex Ross for a new Star Wars series that will take place immediately after A New Hope and will not take anything else into account. So it's immediately after New Hope. No Empire Strikes Back. No Return of the Jedi. I'm excited and I'm also nervous because...
How are they going to do that?
Not use main characters?
No, this is going to be the story. They're using Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. They're doing what happens. Now, I read the comics, the Marvel comics after Star Wars premiered way back when I was a kid. My concern is, I am a fan of Star Wars, and there seem to be two camps of Star Wars fans where it's those who, well, maybe three camps, those who like the prequel trilogy a lot, those who accept their existence, and those who basically just jumped off of Star Wars completely after the prequels, and I was one of the latter. I was a giant Star Wars fan. I was a Star Wars nerd. I loved Star Wars. And then after Episode 2, I bailed. I've never even seen the entire Episode 3.
Jar.
Well, it was, yeah, he was part of it, but there were so many other problems. We don't need to get into those. So now I'm kind of like, okay, is this going to... He's saying... It was a little bit ambiguous from what I've read that they're taking none of the other movies into account, just A New Hope. So I want to see where this is going. I think it's going to be worth a look.
Well, it could be good because remember Shadows of the Empire?
I do remember.
Empire and Jedi?
It was okay.
And I actually liked it quite. I read the book. It was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is anywhere close to that kind of caliber, I mean, it could be good as long as it doesn't mess up the mythos that follow.
Well, they've already completely butchered that mythos. I don't know how you could do any more harm to that at this point. So I think that's one, at least, if we're going to talk about pure comic book from Comic-Con, that's one we might want to keep our eye on. It didn't say if it had an official title. It just said Star Wars. So we'll see. Keep an eye. It's supposed to come out. They're saying sometime in the fall or early winter. That's supposed to happen. Other than that, in terms of San Diego Comic-Con, I'm getting updates pretty regularly here from Flipboard. So if anything breaks while we're still talking here, I'll update you. But other than we can talk more about this in a couple of weeks, too.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to a section called What You've Been Reading. This is...
You're jumping ahead.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
No, you're here.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah, right there.
Okay, I am so sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Now we're getting our reactions to The Amazing Spider-Man. I saw this movie with my aforementioned girlfriend, who will probably not be my girlfriend after this podcast. But I really, really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure how they reinvented the Spider-Man mythos. They reinvented his origin story. I didn't know how they did it. They did it, in my opinion, they did it better. It was more believable. It was more fluent. In my opinion, they did it better.
Are you talking about comic book wise or than the other movie?
The movie.
Yeah. So bounce off that then. Yeah, I thought, it, especially since more than likely it's probably going to be another trilogy type concept.
Yeah.
It hit the floor running. I really liked it. I liked the way that Peter Parker was portrayed as that twitchy nerd.
He did such
a better job of him going from that person to developing as someone who actually believes in himself. I liked Emma Stone, surprisingly, as Gwen Stacy. I like that they're starting with Gwen Stacy as well, instead of the Mary Jane thing, because mm-hmm. he did not meet Mary Jane when they were kids, unless you're in the Ultimate Universe, which is not supposed to be. I like that they went back to web shooters. I never liked the organic wrist.
It didn't
web.
Make sense.
It didn't at all. I mean, all in all, like, I truly enjoyed it, and I'm really looking forward to other ones, and I really want to see it again, and I'm a giant Spider-Man fan, so I'm pretty sure that whole movie, I was smiling, because my face hurt afterward. Yeah. It was good.
I could not disagree with you more. I am sorry.
What?
You're saying this movie hit the ground running? That movie did an origin story, which we've got an origin story already. I sat through that thing like I'm watching a rerun on television, and I absolutely could not stand Edward Griffith or whatever was his name.
The guy playing Spider-Man?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I hated him as Spider-Man. My fiance nailed this thing on the head. It's like they took Edward Cullen, they put him on a Twilight, and they put him in Spider-Man. That's what that movie felt like. It felt like Twilight to me.
No.
I hated this Peter Parker. It didn't hit the ground running. I sat through another origin story, which, organic web shooters aside, I felt they did pretty well with the first time around. I heard a lot of fans talking about their big problem with Tobey Maguire, that he wasn't a smart alecky enough. He didn't crack a bunch of jokes, and that's what they liked about this guy. So I expected to go into this movie hearing all these jokes, except for, "Ooh, I'm afraid of knives, you got me." He didn't say anything that was funny. I think the guy's a good actor. I did not like this movie at all. It felt long in the tooth. I felt like watching this movie, I'd been here before. My fiance, I feel nailed it. This was Twilight Spider-Man.
I disagree with you so much. I gotta be with Phil.
I enjoyed Andrew Garfield while he was a little. He was a little Edward Collins-y. All right,
yes, he was. He was okay. But he'll say he was trying to be James Dean. But then again, that's what it is. But like my fiance's a bit younger than I am, so she may not know who James Dean is. But he was totally trying to be James Dean. And I was like, that's who Peter Parker is. And I went back and I looked up all these old Peter Parker images and his sweater vest. That is not who Peter Parker was. And you cannot convince me of
but
that.
But it's not, you have to, like, it's a starting over. So no matter what, they had to do some form of origin. Granted,
Go ahead.
They could have done it in the whole, like, flip screen during the opening credits.
Agreed.
I got bit by a spider.
They did an Incredible Hulk.
Which would have been okay. Mm-hmm. I totally agree that they beat the origin to the ground.
Yes,
but
I'm
not saying that the way they did it was bad. I feel that it was a good way to do it for this series so that we knew why this Peter Parker was the way that he was. Because it could have gone in another direction as well.
Let me throw this at you.
Go for it.
I'm not going to say I hated the movie overall, and if I did say that, let me back off of that. There were some good moments in the movie. I agree with you. I did like the mechanical web shooters, and I liked that he used them like they were like six shooters. He was just firing them off left and right. I wonder if Sam Raimi's sitting back going, "Oh man, that we should have done that." but I will say that this isn't like I'm not that big a Spider-Man fan, and people say, well, you couldn't just hit the ground running. Yes, you could. I believe I mentioned, or if I didn't, look at the 2005 Doctor Who reboot with Christopher Eccleston. That thing hit the ground running, and it was basically saying, you, if you're watching Doctor Who, there are two reasons you're watching this. You know what's going on, or you're intrigued. If you know what's going on, you don't need the origin story. Follow us. Give me a second. If you don't, we're going to give you the pieces along the way. In terms of the origin story, I think most people walking into a Spider-Man movie know what happens. And as much as I like Spider-Man, I'm not you and I'm not Johnny who love Spider-Man. I will tell you right now that 1 year from now, when we have seen the Superman movie, if they rehash that origin story, I will say the exact same thing that I'm saying right now. We do not need to see Superman's origin story.
All right, have fun with
no
that.
No one needs to see Superman's
because
origin story.
You know,
first of
show
all,
it.
I know. Well, yeah. I'm all for what, like you said, if they kind of touch on it in some sort of some prologue sequence, which they actually did in the original Superman the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
That's when you do it. We did not need another Spider-Man origin story. I felt like there was a lot of wasted time in this movie.
If they revisit the origin in the Superman movie, they're going to ruin all the Smallville crowd. Smallville has a huge crowd.
It does. And,
they've built the mythology from Smallville.
Well, they have, but Smallville ended up being, because it kept going, it's like they literally couldn't pull that thing off the air because they got the network's best ratings. Mm-hmm. Smallville ended up sort of being like this Elseworlds or what if sort of Superman, which is fine. But at the same time, who goes into a Superman movie not knowing Superman's origin story? And I do feel, maybe a little bit lesser degree, but most people going into a Spider-Man movie know how Spider-Man became Spider-Man.
I mean, that's fair, but I do want to just touch briefly, so we don't kill the whole podcast talking about this, that whole comparing it to Doctor Who. You know I'm a giant Doctor Who fan. I've actually watched it longer than you.
You've been watching it way longer than us.
And, I mean, the fact of the matter is, that wasn't a complete reboot. He's still the same Doctor. The problem with the new Spider-Man is they had to do an origin story again for one reason, and that's for the web shooters, I believe. I don't think it needed to take as long as it did. I'll agree with you there that they did spend, I would say, the first hour of the movie building up to him actually fighting the lizard. Mm-hmm. But it's not a continuation. It is a start over. It's a new Peter Parker. It's a new, universe.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on this one. I felt like with Spider-Man, you didn't need to, I mean, if you're going to do a reboot, that's fine. Which they obviously did. Mm-hmm. But just throw them in. And you're right about that. And I'll freely admit, when it comes to Spider-Man and Doctor Who, you are the authority. But I don't know. It felt like from what I've seen, a lot of people are feeling the same way, that I was watching a rerun of something I'd already seen.
I'm going to say, and this is going to be my final word on the subject, I felt that Spider-Man needed a reboot because of Spider-Man 3. And Tobey Maguire never sold me on Peter Parker.
That's fair.
Spider-Man 3. I'll say this is an upgrade from Spider-Man 3. I am a fan of Spider-Man 1, and I'm a fan of Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3 was, there's a, you know what, I'll say this about Spider-Man 3. There's a good movie in there. It's just, there's so much crap. Get rid of Venom. Just Spider-Man Sandman, that's all you would have needed.
Get rid of emo Peter.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. I do want to touch real quickly before we move on from this, that the video game that they made that pairs with
The
Amazing Spider-Man game is quite good. I actually ran it in 2 days because my wife's out of town and I'm on vacation. So that's all I could do. It's very good. It picks up after the movie, so I highly recommend seeing the movie first. There's spoilers in it if you have not seen the movie, which is funny because it came out a week before the film was actually released. But
speaking of Sam Raimi, go ahead.
It's very good. Give it a shot. It's not like gold, but if you enjoy Spider-Man, you enjoy slinging through a town, and you enjoy webbing people, and if you enjoyed Arkham City as well, because it has the same type of fight mechanics as Arkham City.
That was amazing.
It's a very good game. It has the same type of fight mechanics, but you're Spider-Man instead of Batman. So give it a shot. All right, you were saying something about Sam Raimi?
Yeah, Sam Raimi, who we just mentioned, just debuted his trailer for The Great and Powerful Oz at Comic-Con, and people seem to be blown away. So, if you get
a
chance,
that's really his sandbox. That's his sandbox. That's what he does. Is those weird characters.
Yeah. So, if you get a chance, go back and try and find that. Other than that, right now, there's some other stuff that's going on now, too. IDW is going to publish artist edition of Gil Kane's Spider-Man, which is kind of cool. Mass Effect. DC Entertainment, All Access. DC's going on right now, their panel. They're probably going to talk about what you've been mentioning, the Zero Hour.
Issue Zero in September, yes.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Now we wrapped up that. We are moving on to what you've been reading.
The movie sucked.
The movie was sucked. It was good. It wasn't Avengers, but it was good.
It wasn't Avengers, but it was good.
I don't think any of the other three are watchable. Anyway, we're dropping that subject now. We're moving on to what you've been reading. So, Phil, what you've been reading?
All right. Luckily, we just had a podcast 2 weeks ago, so there's not that much stuff that's new. I'm going to start with my Spider-Man stuff, since we beat the Spider-Man movie into the ground. Avenging Spider-Man. This month, he teamed up with good old Carol Danvers' version of Captain Marvel.
Nice.
She flies a plane, he rides in a plane with her, some girl with a rocket pack runs into him. There's a couple of funny jokes in there. It's nothing great. I mean, if you're not reading the series, I would skip this one, probably skip the next one, because at the end it had the Golden to be continued, which they don't really do in this series other than the first three issues with Red Hawk. So it might get better, but I'll get back to you on that. So that's Avenging Spider-Man number 9. My other Spider-Man title, which I started picking up again last time, The Amazing Spider-Man.
The one with the lizard, right?
He's currently battling the lizard, who is Kurt Connors now. He's not the lizard. Okay. He's been stuck in that lizard form for a very long time, and he's finally human again, but he's still the lizard in the head. I didn't feel like it did too much. The lizard's trying to take the attention away from him and putting it onto Dr. Morbius. So that Peter thinks that Dr. Morbius is up to no good versus Kurt Connors is up to no good. So it didn't really, it started ending with them seeing that Kurt Connors is not Kurt Connors anymore. He's the lizard through and through. So there's that. On to the Avengers versus the X-Men, round 7.
That's the one to hear about.
I need to read it again, to be completely honest with you, because I was reading Civil War very heavily that day before I picked it up, and Civil War is just so good. It was hard for me to get into this. We're in the no more Avengers zone. At the end of round 6, Scott said no more Avengers. Any of you that read the House of M, it ended with Scarlet Witch saying no more mutants. So it's a very powerful statement in the Marvel Universe when someone says something like that. You're giving me a confusion.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The end of House of M, a bunch of stuff's going on, and Scarlet Witch says no more mutants. Only the people that were directly surrounded by her kept their mutant powers. All the mutant powers got sapped out of everyone.
Oh, so she has the ability to...
She can manipulate.
Oh, okay. We've already seen her reality warping ideals.
I gotcha. Yes.
So, Scott, in response to that, because he's saying that they should be supporting the X-Men and the mutants because of House of M, and because the Avengers are not, he says the no more Avengers. And they are talking about taking out Scarlet Witch, which is a big part of this. They're fighting her a lot
She already proved that she could rewrite the galaxy.
Exactly.
The universe with
so
House of M.
They have issues with her, and they're trying to dispose of her. So the Phoenix Five is up and fighting, and I will tell you now, most of the Avengers are no longer on the streets. Oh, they're locking them up. Uncanny X-Men, I kind of am feeling why it's getting canceled again. It's kind of losing its oomph. They're dealing with Mr. Sinister a lot, since you're pointing, because Scott Summers is on the cover, good old Cyclops, in his Phoenix 5 outfit, because he's so...
Such a badass.
So awesome. But they're going after Mr. Sinister in his underground lair, and not too much happened. It just ended with the X-Men actually approaching the lair. So those were my not so favorite issues from the last couple weeks. These are the ones that I really liked. The New Avengers. I've been digging this series. Like, I'm not big on Avengers all in all, But this new Avengers had the backstory of the Iron Fist thing going on in the last three issues. It ended with us finding out who's training Hope. This issue focuses back onto other Avengers, specifically three Avengers that are in the X-Men's holding area, which they don't, like, they haven't touched on yet. They don't actually say what's happening to the Avengers. So it's all about Spider-Woman, Hawkeye, and Luke Cage trying to escape from the X-Men.
Hmm.
It is awesome.
Sounds good.
It is so good. I read it so fast, I had to read it a second time right afterward. It was so good. So give that a shot.
Nice.
The Avengers versus the X-Men. The Versus books.
That looks like so much fun.
This is number 4. I actually showed Darren an awesome scene.
That was actually very cool.
And I'll show it to Johnny after the podcast as well. The fights this month, Daredevil versus Psylocke. It was two ninjas beating on each other. It was amazing.
How the hell can you
and
go wrong?
The thing is, like, Daredevil can stand on top of people because he has the extra sense ability. But Psylocke has her psychic ability, which you can't really use on him because the first time you get his senses, it gives you, like, a migraine. So she can't use it against him. They're fighting. It's a powerful, powerful fight. This issue, like, this comic series as a whole boasts that it doesn't deal with the plot. They finally had internal, monologues with themselves, and they jump back and forth very, very well. I enjoyed that fight a lot. Now, the fight that was a fight, like, vicious fight, was Thor versus Emma Frost.
Well, it's just Emma Frost has the Phoenix power right now, so.
Yeah, it's Phoenix two gods power. Throwing exactly. Down. It's amazing. Amazing. The part I showed Darren was a taunt that Emma Frost said to Thor, which, if you read my blog, you can see the quote, and I will show Johnny later. Definitely read that comic. The last thing that I read was Wolverine and the X-Men, number 13. Like I said the last time I was talking about one of these, it ended with the Shi'ar Empire landing on Earth, trying to finish the Phoenix off, as they are, you know, trained to do.
Often doing, yeah.
This issue was the fight between the Gladiators and the Warbirds and the X-Men. It actually focused on the Warbird that's been with Wolverine and the X-Men. Gives you her backstory, why she's the way she is, and why she's with Kid Gladiator. That's all I'm going to say about that issue, because I know Johnny reads Wolverine and the X-Men, and I'd hate to ruin it. But, buddy, it is a good one.
Can that series really do any wrong?
I don't know yet.
I mean, that series is incredible.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
I very much enjoyed it.
So, those are the books that I am reading. Really looking forward to next week, because the next Avengers vs. X-Men round should be coming out. So, very good stuff. So, Darren, what are you up to? What are you reading, sir?
Before I get into that, it looks like people have just gotten out, or like they got out of a screening of the Judge Dredd movie that's coming out. I think it's in the... And people are saying it is absolutely fantastic.
Huh.
The reaction to that has been very positive. It was a surprise screening, is what they did.
I have to throw in that a lot of this, like, everything you're going to hear from Comic-Con, it's absolutely amazing. Because of the placebo effect. Because a lot of people are at Comic-Con and a lot of people are geeks. I'm not saying it's not absolutely amazing, but if you are not super impressed by Judge Dredd, it's not because these guys didn't miss anything. They're just excited to be at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. That, you know, you sometimes it's you like get excited. Everyone else is excited around you, so you get excited, and you're like, wait, why was I excited? Okay, that's a good point.
It's like a rock band point. Is always better live.
Oh, yeah.
So
not always.
Well, no, not always.
If you go back and listen to some of the Beatles early live, they were terrible back in the early days. They admit it.
Melt you.
Do they?
Absolutely. Oh,
so good.
Coheed and Cambria? It's a life-changing experience.
I've seen Rush and Pearl Jam a bunch of times, and
Rush is awesome.
Yeah, they are. October. Back here on October 28th.
Fantastic.
I have been reading, with the exception of my Sayonara to Green Arrow last time, I've been reading basically the same. I'm close, though, Johnny, where you were with Action Comics. Action Comics and Superman. Superman's been average. Action Comics, I was talking to Phil before the show. It's not bad. I just don't know what the hell's going on. And you kind of mentioned that last week, or a couple of weeks ago. Detective Comics is still just average at best. Nightwing's very good. I really, really like what they're doing with Batman. The Batman is by far the best of the new 52. There's no contest. Green Lantern, I think, has gotten progressively better since it started. You were right about that, Johnny. That thing got off to a very, very poor start, but it's gotten better as time's gone on. The Flash, I think, is the other one that's really good. I have enjoyed the Flash.
You've seen that before, which surprises me.
The Flash is really good, and I think the Flash is right now boasting probably the best front cover-to-cover artwork of the new 52. For me, that's just my own. I'm a sucker for the Flash as its artwork is being laid out and the separations. The panels, as I scan them, are very good.
There it is.
What else am I reading? I believe that's it. Oh, the Justice League. I'll tell you what. The Justice League we've mentioned twice now, but the thing we're forgetting to mention is the add-on story for Shazam's origin, which I really like. The Shazam origin story is really cool so far. So that's all I got right now. Oh, and I did finish reading the Walking Dead 100. I'm all caught up on that today.
Don't ruin it. Haven't read it yet.
We are a spoiler-free zone, my friends.
How was it?
I talked to Phil before the show. For The Walking Dead, it's hit a creative low. It's still really good, but I'm judging it on its own merit. I think the series is in a creative low. And it's kind of obvious because he's, you know, pulling double duty right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's probably pulling what? He's doing other comics, too.
Well, Kirkman can do that. He is great.
Yeah, he's good. But when you read it, I think we'll save the discussion for next time because for those who might listen to this, if they're reading The Walking Dead, by the time we get around to the next podcast, it's likely they will have read issue 100. Mm-hmm. It feels like we're getting into territory we've been before. That's all that I'll say.
All right. So for me, what I've been reading. First, let me say yesterday, the Owl storyline wrapped up in Batman. Read that book. Batman 11, Scott Snyder.
Are you talking, Batman 11, I'm only
Night
on 10.
Owls. Night of the Owls.
I will say this about it. I like the comic. I am not on board with their big reveal. And I haven't gotten any further than that, though, so.
Still need to read it.
You need to read 11, because they really explain a lot about the big reveal.
Okay.
And, well, they don't really explain a lot. They just kind of... I enjoyed number 11 very, very much. Night of the Owls was an incredible story. I love what Scott Snyder's doing with Batman. I love what DC is doing with Batman. Which is ironic because my drop this week. My sayonara this week. But we'll leave that for later. I've been reading Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad has been gangbusters. I have really enjoyed that book. The art has been great. The writer, Adam Glass, was the executive producer of the television show Supernatural. I think I mentioned that last time, didn't I?
Yeah, I believe you did.
And it's really... it's just a good series. I've really enjoyed every issue of it. Let's see, what else have I been reading? Animal Man and Swamp Thing are great books. They are kind of blending together for a story that's coming up in the future, spoiler free. It looks great. They've set it up really well. Jeff Lemire on Animal Man is doing very good at making an antiquated character relevant again. And Scott Snyder on Swamp Thing, it's like a drug. I can't get enough of that comic. It's a great book. I would check out Swamp Thing.
You were mentioning that to me. Swamp Thing is not a character that I think I'll immediately gravitate to, but I've heard nothing but wonderful things about that comic.
It's not a character that anybody would immediately gravitate to. But
well, I don't feel so bad now.
But it's great. It really is great. Swamp Thing, I've always liked Swamp Thing. But I've always liked him from a distance. I haven't really collected a Swamp Thing book. Until now. Now I can't miss an issue. I don't care if I'm picking lint out of my wallet. I will get that issue. It's a great book. Let's see, what else have I been reading? Batgirl is good. Yeah. It's good. It's fun.
You were mentioning to me the other day, American Vampire.
Scott Snyder did American Vampire. I've not been reading it. That's over.
Were you reading then?
I wasn't reading American Vampire. I just know that that's where Scott Snyder came from.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about I Vampire. Oh, I Vampire is great. It's so much fun. Oh, it's like Victorian literature in comic book form. They throw in like supporting characters every once in a while, the superheroes and all that. Whatever, they needed to do that. The superheroes really detract from the plot. But they ditched the superheroes right now, and Andrew Bennett, the star of I, Vampire, he's awesome. He's great. I, Vampire is a great book. It's Victorian literature in comic book form. I can't say enough good things about that. It's great. I was reading Frankenstein. Jeff Lemire just left Frankenstein. And Matt Kunt picked it up after Jeff Lemire left. And it's okay.
Not working?
It's not happening. All right. So that's what we've been reading. We've gotten some good reviews, gotten some bad reviews. We're moving now on to a segment called Stuck, Stick, Pick, and Sayonara, where we talk about books that we are stuck on, books that we have faith in, books that we want to try, and books that we are completely done with. All right, so the books that I am stuck on, you pretty much can guess what I'm stuck on.
Saga.
Saga's great.
I Vampire.
Suicide.
Suicide Squad.
Swamp Thing.
Batman.
Yes, these are books that I'm stuck on. The books that I'm sticking with, I'm going to stick with Batgirl because I like what Gail Simone is doing with it, and I want to see where it goes. I like that Batgirl. I like the Barbara Gordon as inner monologue, talking to herself and justifying her actions and unjustifying her actions and having conversations, actual ethical conversations with her combatants. I like that a lot. I'm sticking with Nightwing as well. Because how can you not?
It's good.
It's a great book.
It's been very good.
Yeah.
It's not been great, exactly, but it's been very good. And it hasn't seen a pitfall yet. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The pick.
Pick of the week. Johnny's pick of the week. Or pick of the month or whatever.
I don't have... Well...
What's your best? Your favorite one so far?
My favorite pick?
Yeah.
Animal Man.
Wow.
I gotta go with Animal Man.
I've heard that.
It's a fantastic book. Jeff Lemire, again, is doing good stuff. I'm really enjoying that. And because I've been stuck and sticking and picking so much, I have to say Sayonara to two books this month.
I have a feeling I know which one of them is. Go ahead.
One of them is Frankenstein. I'm sorry, guys. The character was cute, but I'm just not sold on it anymore. I have to say goodbye to you. And the other one, I'm sorry, but the same reasons as I dropped Action Comics last month.
Detective?
I have to drop Detective.
I'm close. I'm with you right there, buddy. I'm with you with that.
Now, I have to say the first issue of Detective Comics with the big reveal at the end blew my mind. It blew my mind.
It was gruesome, we'll show you.
But it hasn't blown my mind at all. And
do you feel like now that just seems like a cheap trick?
No.
Because they didn't really go very far with
them. They are going very far with them. Scott Snyder revealed his next storyline in Batman deals with that big reveal.
Oh. So they're jumping titles. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm actually question dropping Detective Comics because of that. Because Scott Snyder's doing a character-based storyline like that.
Hmm.
But I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm done with Detective Comics and Frankenstein. I'm sorry.
It's fine. You've got to make choices in life.
Precisely. And I'm moving on to Darren.
I am stuck on Batman, Nightwing. I'm going to stick with... Oh, I'm stuck on The Flash, too. All right. I'm going to go ahead and stick with Green Lantern. I'm going to stick with Superman. And I'm going to stick with the Justice League. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Justice League. I've already said sayonara to Green Arrow. And I am jumping on your bandwagon from last time. And I am saying sayonara to Action Comics. Again, as I was discussing with Phil before the show, it's not that it's been bad. It just seems directionless. I don't know what's happening. I can suffer through a couple of issues of bad comics if I feel like, well, we've been in a good spot. We're hitting a low point creatively here. Let's see. I want to see when they get back to this. But is he a clone? Is he not a clone? Is he Superman? Is he not Superman? Is he a boy? Is he what's? There's no from month to month, issue to issue. They're really, I don't know what's happening. And I consider myself an informed reader. And especially when it comes to Superman, I'm an informed reader. And for me, not to be able to decipher what is actually happening, what the overall scope for Superman's going to be, I don't get it. I don't understand. So, sayonara. My pick of the week is the same as it was last podcast, and that is The Last Phantom. It really is an action-packed book. It kind of... It's a little bit outside the mainstream, which I also kind of like. I'm all caught up with that now. I got to issue 12, and there's a bit of a reveal at the very end, which seems like it might switch the tone of the entire book. Have you read any of this?
I have not.
Where, first of all, it says the Phantom will return, so there's nothing on the horizon. I don't know if they're on hiatus, but all of a sudden there's this giant robot centipede sort of monster that's being piloted by a guy named Redbeard. I'm like, I'm a little concerned because this is a book that's been very, very character driven, and much like please forgive me if I use the term reboot. I know you said it's not a reboot. Much like the reboot of Doctor Who, it throws you in to the Phantom and just fills in those gaps along the way, and it does so quickly. I don't want to give too much away because it's a lot of fun to read. And so I'm sticking with my pick of the week as The Last Phantom.
Okay. I am stuck on... I'm just talking about the ones I discussed today, not all in all. I read way too many books. The Avengers versus the X-Men, the Versus series, the actual rounds, which is the core thing. New Avengers and Wolverine and the X-Men. I am sticking with Avenging Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, and Uncanny X-Men, because I'm starting to get a little weary of that. My pick of this week... Ooh, it's a toss-up. I'm going to go with New Avengers. New Avengers really knocked my socks off this time. It's close with Versus, just because those fights were phenomenal. But story-wise, New Avengers... sadly, I'm still stuck with no sayonaras. I wish I had one, because I'm getting too many comics good. At this point.
That's good. I mean, that means at least you're reading good stuff.
I am, but for the most part, I think I'm going to be stuck, or at least sticking to all the books that I'm iffy on until the Avengers vs. the X-Men is over, because it's nice to have all those holes filled in.
Gotcha.
But that is all for me.
Well, John, you have a very interesting task ahead of you. Because you are going to attempt to encapsulate the Spider-Man clone saga into a 5 to 10 minute discussion.
All right, well...
We should probably go...
To do this...
You gotta try it for 5.
Yes.
We're running long here, but that's okay.
All right. Well, to do this, I'm only going to review the core series. We all know the basics, right? I mean, Spider-Man got cloned by... Well, yeah.
That's why it's called
the Jackal. The Jackal came and... This originally started in the 70s, I believe.
Yeah, by the way, this is our retroactive review statement. I kind of stepped on your toes there, Johnny. Sorry.
It's all right. But this originally started in the 70s whenever Peter Parker was... the Jackal was an antagonist in the Spider-Man universe, also a scientist, who figured out how to clone humans. And he cloned Gwen Stacy, because he was in love with Gwen Stacy, and then Gwen Stacy went for Peter Parker, and then he had a fit, and they wound up with two Spider-Man, and Peter Parker beat up the one Spider-Man, found out that because he had feelings for Mary Jane, who was in comics at that time, mm-hmm. because he had feelings for Mary Jane, he was the original Peter Parker, so So he left the clone at the bottom of a dumpster. Now, fast forward to the 90s. The clones come back with a vengeance. And they very nearly obliterated Marvel Comics.
I love the gravitas in your voice right now.
Thank you. So, Maximum Clonage. Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, is thought to be the clone of Spider-Man. This storyline was originally supposed to be a six-month thing. It was supposed to be done in half a year. But they were selling so many comics that Marvel told Tom DeFalco, dude, just go with it. Just keep it going as long as possible. And it lasted for 2 years. Ugh. All right, the Max...
Now, can I ask you a question? Because I didn't read this, but...
Ask away.
The overwhelming feeling in the Clone Saga, it's kind of viewed at, in the comic book circles, as a massive joke. Like, it's... People think this is so dumb and so stupid. It's kind of like the prequel Star Wars for the Marvel Universe, isn't it?
It's seen as exhaustion.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, the Jackal comes back, Ben Reilly, Spider-Man.
He sounds like a jerk, that guy.
The Jackal?
Yeah, he comes back again, too.
Yeah. Does he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What an ass.
He has something to do with Spider Island, doesn't he?
I've never read Spider Island.
I'm pretty sure he does. I haven't read it yet.
Makes sense, though.
So that's me guessing. I'm not 100% sure, so. Because there are clones there, so.
Oh,
I'm assuming if there's clones there.
God. Well, Marvel has been trying to reinsert the Clone Saga into the general mythology.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because they, did a year-long clone rehashment. But anyway, the series was... The 90s was known for exhibition and for variant covers, for cheap marketing techniques, and for basically screwing the customers, which is what the 90s was. Would you guys agree with me on that?
Yeah, it sounds like right now, too. By the way.
Yeah.
Not to the same extent. Marvel, well, comics in general, just blew it out of the water at that time. And the Clone Saga is the epitome of Marvel, of 90s. We wound up with a ton of spider clones. We wound up with Spider-Side, who was a Spider-Man clone on steroids, and he was just dumb, and he has been voted by IGN, I believe, as the third worst comic book villain of all time.
Spider-Side.
And he had no personality, he had no motivation, he just wanted to kill. And he was just dumb. The best antagonists are ones that you can relate to. Or ones that you can at least see, that you can at least understand a little bit, like the Joker, like Lex Luthor.
Like Magneto.
These are the ones that you want to keep around. The Clone Saga had none of that. The Jackal, a little bit, but not really. The Clone Saga... Now, I grew up on the Clone Saga. I grew up in the 90s. I loved the Clone Saga back then. Rereading them was a chore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rereading them was a chore. Now, eventually, I'm still a fan of Ben Reilly. Marvel just reinvented
Scarlet Spider.
Scarlet Spider. I was all excited about Ben Reilly, and it wasn't Ben Reilly.
It's not Ben Reilly, but I hear that series is good.
It's Kane. Kane was the from the Clone Saga, was the original failed experiment clone of Spider-Man. And Kane was actually a good character. He was someone that you could, feel. Someone that you could sympathize with. But he wasn't enough to save the series.
Yeah.
If you like lots of big explosions and violence and scantily clad women and a very weak storyline, the Clone Saga is all for you. If you like quality books, read...
something else.
Something else.
Civil War.
Civil War, absolutely. Now, I did have a debate with a friend of mine at work one time, and he was saying that Peter Parker was the real Spider-Man. And just to play devil's advocate, I said, no, Ben Reilly was the real Spider-Man. He's like, no. No, Peter Parker was Spider-Man. And I said, okay, look. If someone were to say to me, I'm Johnny Capps, I would laugh. Because I know that I'm Johnny Capps, and no one can convince me of otherwise. Because I'm Johnny Capps. That's who I've always been. That's who I'll always be. Ben Reilly walks up to Peter Parker and says, hey, I'm Peter Parker. And Peter Parker says, okay. And that's why I like Ben Reilly.
Fair enough. Johnny, not to interrupt, but you're going to want to hear it. This. The rumor of the day before Watchmen may bring Neil Gaiman back to Sandman. Johnny is having a nerdgasm. That's what's going on right now. That is being reported from San Diego Comic-Con. There's the headline right there. There's nothing confirmed yet. God. Yeah, Johnny's...
I think we broke Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's been broken.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So I guess that means we should probably get to the what are you looking forward to?
Johnny's... Actually, you know, another headline we didn't even talk about. Johnny broke the story last night that Firefly is going to have a 10-year anniversary.
Yes, I was going to say
special.
That,
yeah, it's just them like it was their panel,
it's
like
a little
right?
documentary.
Yeah, I read about that as well.
That'll be cool. I have a feeling that there's going to be more coming down the pike, especially if Arrested Development, which returns later this year, takes off on Netflix.
Time out.
Heard about
Arrested
this?
Development is definitely
Arrested
coming back.
Development is going to have 12 new episodes, and it's going to be in theaters, and that's coming. Netflix is doing it. It's going to be distributed through Netflix. That's already happening.
Like,
that's a done deal.
The streaming program?
Yeah,
or
no, it's just going to show up on Netflix. You're going to be able to watch all 12. When the premiere's going to be like, there it is. They tried it with, I forget whatever series came out next year, or last year, and it did fairly well. So Netflix has bought the rights. They beat out everyone. They're producing it. Everyone's back for Arrested Development. It's going to premiere on Netflix. When it shows up, you're going to be able to watch all 12 episodes immediately, and then they're going to go to the movie. So Arrested Development's coming back. And I kind of feel like there's a good chance that Firefly, because you always point to the last 10 years, Arrested Development and Firefly were like the two ones that did poorly in the ratings, but the downloads were immense. They were like the most downloaded shows, and like network's executives were never taking that into account.
Here's the thing, like, it's been 10 years and people are still talking about Firefly.
Yeah, it's not going to go away.
I just finished the last episode with Sarah today, and she loved it.
You'd watched it before, though, right?
Oh, I'd watched it. I could quote that series.
Yeah, I watched it. I only watched it a year ago. I had a friend of mine who told me, you got to watch this series. It's great. And I was like, sure, I'll get around to it. And then I finally did.
Have you seen Serenity?
Yes, I have.
Say, that's one of those few movies, too, that came out. And you're like, there's no way this is going to be close to as good as the show. And then you're just like, how is that possible? That thing was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great. And it some oh shit moments in that, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I interrupted the segment, but Johnny, you're all right now? You're going to be able to finish the show?
Guys, I'm a published author. I have written books mainly because of Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman is... I can't think of an adjective.
So, Phil, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to, just comic-wise, The Last Standing Avenger. Because I'm a giant Spider-Man fan, and the cover of that book is Spider-Man. So that bad boy is going to fight the X-Men by his lonesome. I'm guessing Hope's with him, and I'm excited for that. And I'm still very interested in Alpha. I'm hoping they're not rebooting Spider-Man with this Phase 1 crap. Especially if they're throwing in new characters.
I don't see how they can with the Alpha story.
Well, that might be the way for them to bail out when it fails. There it is. So those are the things I'm looking forward to right now. Otherwise, everything's pretty pretty level. I'm looking forward to reading Walking Dead 100 tonight.
I am looking forward to Batman. I have not gotten to it yet, but I still have the Doctor Who Star Trek The Next Generation crossover to check out. I am very much looking forward to that.
That's fun. I'm
looking forward to The Dark Knight Rises, you guys.
Yeah, that.
I'm excited. And to be honest, I'm looking forward, like, tomorrow is the big day when usually the most home runs are hit at Comic-Con. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow, like, just flipping through Flipboard
Must be why it's called that. And checking out what the big announcements are, seeing what the big things are coming.
Cool.
I don't really have anything I'm looking forward to.
Neil Gaiman returning to...
No, I very much... Thank you. You just...
Hey, that's I had nothing to do with it.
This is a great time to be a geek.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm looking forward with trepidation to Zero Month, which is coming in September.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Firefly.
I mean, that's pretty much supposed to be, what, November?
Yes, November 10th, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it is close to that. Comic-wise, I'm looking forward to this AVX being over. I'm enjoying the story.
A little long in the tooth now?
Yeah.
6 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're
only, like, 4 in.
And it's across all titles, right?
Just Avengers and X-Men.
What if they go and talk to the writers and say, hey, we're selling so many comics, let's make it to
years. They've already announced 12 issues.
No, you're right.
12
you're
issues.
Right,
so there's an end in sight.
Yes. We're halfway through, because I just read, a little more than halfway, because I just read 7 and 8 should come out next week.
No, that's right. Have not read 7 yet. Is it good?
Yeah, it's decent.
All right. So, that's what I'm looking forward to. Now we move to plugs.
What you got coming up?
I have Andy Hopp doing a show at the Firefly in Kent on South DePeyster on the 28th of this month. Should all come and hang out with Andy Hopp because he's really cool.
He is a cool guy. I met him in the last show.
He does some really good geek-centric artwork. He's the officiator of Con on the Cob. He's the Mother Ucker Creations. He does some really good stuff. I've been looking at his RPG that's coming up called Crud. He's got an RPG coming up, and it's really cool. It looks like a lot of fun. He's going to be running a game for us. Probably not at the show, but if you want to play on his RPG, just talk to him about it, and I'm sure that he'll get into that. And so that's coming up, and that's all I can plug, really.
If some of you out there are sports fans, check out the other podcast that I am part of. My friend Ron Brown does the Brown on Browns podcast. He is the social network authority of the Cleveland Browns.
Excellent. Got anything to plug?
Not really. If you're more interested in the comics that I've talked about, you can check out my personal blog at philthec.blogspot.com. And I review the comics I read and discuss my feelings about the ridiculousness that's going on.
Oh, if y'all want to get in on the ground floor of this, you can feel free to friend us on Facebook. I'm Johnny without an H, JONNYCAPPS. And just look me up on Facebook.
All right.
And you guys, do you want to spell your names?
Nope.
Or?
Nope.
I'm good.
Teachers, remember?
Oh,
teachers.
Yeah. Teachers. But, yay. I'm just a geek. So, look me up. All right. Well, that's a great time to be a geek. We're wrapping things up. You guys got any big plans for the weekend?
Dark Knight, you guys.
Dark Knight.
It's not this weekend.
And that
it is, isn't it?
No.
Oh, you're right.
It's 20th, man.
Oh, wow. You got too excited. All right,
so we're looking forward to the Dark Knight Rises.